to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liel, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from the edge of the great city that is withering, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where we will examine the coming season that awaits many. And from this location, I must report that the bounty of the land has begun to languish and fold, and her troughs are becoming an empty memory of how it once was. The blight of the land is spreading with withering crops and with the withering souls of a people who are still in possession of the past and who have no grasp of the coming future. America, the land that once celebrated the harvest of plenty, is now becoming a parched memory to the rest of the world. Her wells are becoming dry. Her soil has awakened to desolation, and her people stumble about in a growing shadow of darkness. They wander in their sleep, and they find no rest. Ladies and gentlemen, the winter of souls has arrived. The spectacle has begun, and the long-awaited episode of the future is now becoming the current performance. And unfortunately for many, there is an abundance of denial and blindness. Most people do not see it. Most people do not get it. And as a result, that fun-filled word that described prosperity in the past will now be redefined in new phrases. Because the sad future for the many that have forgotten God will be described with abundant anguish and stress, abundant confusion that provides no answers, and an abundance of people still placing trust in their politicians, the figureheads of make-believe and false promises. America, you were the land of souls that once trusted in your God, the maker of heaven and earth. But now you have forsaken and forgotten the only one who can save you. And instead, you have placed faith in the creature instead of the Creator. The people of America now trust and are placing their hope in the strength of man. Obama will save us. Romney is the way. The system will not fail us. The media will not deceive us. And here we are once again, with different names on a ballot, but it will be the same story. Election day will arrive. The frenzy will commence. The voices will report. And then the day will end with a result. And the winner will be either or. And either Obama will snicker and grin and promise another 4 years to continue his pledge to George Soros and Satan, or it will be the baseball glove man, Mitt Romney, the rich one who will start World War III and draft our children. My friends, there is no way to sugarcoat the mess that America is in. There is no way to spin it. The population is in a sleeping trance, and most are too ignorant to know that the days of their present lifestyle are numbered. The majority of the churches living in Pretendville and are not ready for the head-on collision that is approaching. And while most people think that this election is a normal event in America, where all citizens will be well and behave themselves. But folks, how can people behave when they have forgotten their Maker and their God? Ladies and gentlemen, where is God in this presidential campaign? Where is the mention? Who is the God of Obama? And who is Romney's God? Where is God in the heart of the voters? Folks, I believe you know the answer. God has now become a footnote in America. God is a liability to the politicians. He's not welcomed. He's not desired. And since God is not desired, what does America want? Well, they want to be rescued. And they want to choose a man. But how can the people be rescued from themselves? How can a nation of drunkards, pagans, and harlots be rescued from their own desires? By the strength of a suit-wearing politician. A sad announcement from the wall. They can't, and they won't be rescued. And unfortunately, the people are going to get what they want. They're going to get what they asked for, but not what they expected. Because whether it is Romney or Obama that wins, those who believe their man will give them a bandage will instead find themselves in bondage. And those who wanted more entitlements will instead find themselves in enslavement. And those who believe their hero will bring a miracle recovery and a return to early retirement may even find themselves deceived into an early grave. So my friends, as I sit here and share my concerns with you, please know that we are living in a very pivotal moment in history. Right now, we're living in the days that were mentioned in the scriptures so long ago. And out of all the generations that have come and gone, ours is the one that is going to witness some incredible things. The incorporation of evil hearts with an evil future of a world gone mad. And that's why we're talking about it. We have to, folks. And we've got to think about them. We have to formulate them. We have to process them and prepare for them. Because if we don't, we will be left with the others, those that are blind to the season and who will resort to dark reason. And I don't want to be numbered with the generation of corruption or with the age of the defiled, and neither do you. And on this program, in this session, we are going to examine some amazing things. Things that have to do with the end times, with Bible prophecy, and also with you. Because today's program concerns you. It concerns the future of America and of Europe and also the rest of the world. Now, over the last few sessions, we've been studying, examining, dissecting, and interpreting the hidden message that the recent Olympic ceremonies revealed and communicated to the world. And ladies and gentlemen, there was a message. It was vast and it had many, many layers. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, God has allowed me to uncover some of the secrets. And we've talked about them and we have discovered that the ceremony included a Luciferian occultic ritual that opened up the gates of the underworld and released some very dark subjects and entities into the world. And the last program, part 5, went into detail about this event. And if you happen to be new to this series, you can hear the other parts on our website. It's located at watchmanscry.com, and you can go there, and on the front page there is a link to all of the other parts of this very, very revealing series. So please do so. If you happen to be a Christian, it is vital that you become acquainted with this information, because it's going to affect every Christian in the last generation. Now that's us, folks. We have to know about these things. And today we're going to examine a portion of the ceremony that I believe is one of the most explosive, incredible, and profound portions of the New World Order plan in these end times. Now, folks, I really believe that. I've been spending a few weeks uncovering the information that you're going to hear on this program, and by the time you're finished hearing this, I'm pretty sure that you're going to agree that this information is very necessary for all of us to be aware of. We need to know about it. We need to understand it. We need to realize how serious the hour that we are living in right now is. It's a late hour, folks. Time is running out. The window's closing. The events are approaching like a bullet train. And it's up to us to learn about them, be acquainted with them, understand them, so that as they arrive, they will not take you and lead you astray. Now, real quick, if you appreciate our efforts in this huge, enormous project and what we are doing, we appreciate your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. By the way, folks, I want to thank you for all of the comments that you emailed to me. In the last program, I asked the question if you still wanted to continue with this study, because I wanted to know from you if it was getting too heavy for you, if it was too hard to follow, because the information was just too hard to bear and deal with. But 99% of those of you that contacted us stated that you wanted to continue with this information, with this message, with this study, because as many of you have said in the emails that I received, that this study that we are doing is probably one of the most in-depth studies on the Olympic series that is available today in the United States of America and possibly in many parts of the world. We're digging deep, folks, and we're uncovering this thing. And also some of you commented that while you are not a resident of America, you're still following this series because you also understand that this thing is going to be worldwide. It is not only going to affect the United States, this thing is going to envelop the entire planet because all the nations of the world participated in the ceremony. And the invocation and the rituals that were conducted in the ceremony are also going to pollute the entire world with a dark spiritual sludge. Therefore, all residents of the world, all Christians of the world, and all of those that consider themselves a part of the remnant or who desire to be part of the remnant and find endurance want to understand these things. So you contacted us and you told us to please continue. So I want to thank you for letting us know your thoughts and your comments. Also, I want to give a quick announcement. I know that I am late with part 6, the session that you're listening to, but allow me to explain why. In the last few weeks, in the last month, the property where we have been living has become unavailable for us to continue living there. And over the last few months, I have known that this event was coming, because God had warned me and my family that we were going to have to move. He gave my daughter prophetic dreams. He gave my wife and my son prophetic dreams that we were going to have to relocate to a different property. So we needed to prepare to do that. So we were wrestling with trying to figure out where God wanted us. And I really wanted to know this information because, you know, folks, in this late hour, we all need to decide where we're going to shelter, where we're going to ride out the storm. And about 8 or 9 months ago, I even prayed about whether or not I should leave the country because I did not want to remain here if God wanted me leaving. And also on the same note, I didn't want to leave if God wanted me to stay. So I've been seeking Him to understand His will. I want His will, not mine. So I've been praying about this thing. And a few months ago, I had a dream that a friend of mine was helping me move from where I was living to a different property. And in the dream, my friend was helping me move, and I was moving to a property within the county that I live in the dream. So that dream helped to isolate the question and answer the question on whether I should leave the country. Because since I was relocating to a property that was within the same county here in Idaho, that helped me to know that God was going to open a door eventually here in this county. So whereas before I had a very wide net wondering if I was going to be somewhere else in the United States or leave the country, the net got very small to my county. And then just a few weeks ago, all the pieces came together. So we have been moving in the same location, the same area. I'm still here in the Priest River area of Idaho. So everything has worked out as far as wondering where I needed to be. And actually, I'm very happy for that, folks, because I love this area where I am right now. I love it up here in northern Idaho. It's beautiful. And my family and I, we all know in our heart of hearts that this is where God has brought us. So we're going to shelter and ride out the storm here until God says otherwise. Now, here we are. I've been moving for the last few weeks. And, you know, folks, moving is a chore that gets harder and harder the older you get. But we've been doing it. We have animals, I have sheep, and we have farm equipment. I've had to move fences, and that's why we have been late on this program. So I want to offer my apologies. So in conclusion, it looks like I am going to ride out this storm, this very intense storm that is coming. I'm going to ride it out here in the United States of America. I want to ride it out with you because I know that the majority of you that are listeners, you're staying in America. I know that some of you are relocating to different parts of the country. I know that some of you are relocating from the city to more rural areas. And I want to just give a quick encouragement while we're talking about it. Folks, if you're going to move, get it done now. Now, while I don't have an exact date, I just want to advise that things are going to be becoming more and more expensive in the coming months. While you can, if at all possible, if you know in the back of your minds and your spirit that God does want you to relocate eventually when the pieces come together, then please do not procrastinate. If you have to sacrifice to make it possible, then I would advise you to make those sacrifices and to get it done. We're doing it right now. It's been very difficult. It's been very challenging. But praise God, we're getting it done. Anyway, let's begin, folks. I want to ask you to please get your Bible, get a pen and paper, because this program is going to go very, very deep into several categories of study. We're going to go deep into the scriptures, and I hope that this program will light a fire of determination under you to understand that we are no longer living in normal times. The plans are in motion. And one of the hardest challenges that I am finding as I examine current events and I try to isolate them and understand them in light of the scripture and in light of end time Bible prophecy, one of the biggest challenges that I find myself wondering about is, will the end time prophecies happen real quick, or will they happen in slow motion? Will they blindside us, or will they continue to sift in like slow moving lava or molasses or syrup? And as I have been stating in previous programs, I am starting to realize that the beginning portions of the present day events started very slow, and they do resemble molasses and honey dripping. They do seem to be happening in slow motion, and they do seem to be happening in a speed that most of us did not anticipate. Because I believe that most of you that are listening, who are trying to get ready and prepare, anticipated that some of the looming events that we have been preparing for and that we have been warned about would have happened by now. I know that some of you have wondered, well, what's the holdup? I thought martial law would have been here by now. I thought there would be riots in the streets by now, because here we are. We're in the final quarter of 2012. Where are the riots? Where's the hyperinflation? Where's World War III? Where's the manifestation of those prophetic warnings that so many people are now speaking about on YouTube and on the internet and on forums and on radio programs? Nathan, where's all the doom and gloom? Where are the events? I want to see them. You talk about the rocket's red glare that's going to be within all of our eyesight and earshot very soon, but I don't see it. What's up, Nathan? Where is it? You know, folks, that's the big challenge. But while many of these events have started happening in slow motion, folks, instead of getting antsy and impatient, I believe that we should thank God that they have not arrived yet, because when they do start happening, there will be no more time for you to conduct your unfinished business. There will be no more time for you to finish preparing. There will be no more time for you to do those things that you need to do, that you have written down in your to-do list, the things you've wondered about, the things you've discussed with your husband or wife or friends. So folks, let us seize the time. Don't wait till the last minute. So as we study the information that I'm about to share in this program, I hope that it lights a very intense flame of fire and concern and earnest desire to get ready for this thing, to get on board, to get on the fast track and finish the work that needs to be done. Now, as I have been reviewing the information that you're about to hear on this session, I am still amazed at this portion of the Olympic ceremony. Now, if you're a brand new listener and you have not heard any of the other parts, this is part 6 of the expose on the Olympic series. And in parts 1 through 5, we have been dissecting and breaking down different portions. And we have found out and discovered that on the surface, the Olympic ceremony had a symbolic meaning that the world was told, that the commentators were told to talk about. There was a surface layer of explanation written on a script and given to all of the people watching this ceremony. A surface layer. And then right under the surface, there was another symbolic layer that some people could see. But then, as we started examining each piece and each element of the ceremony, we have been able to go down 2, 3, 4, and even more layers, and we have discovered that this thing goes very deep. Because the things that were presented, revealed, and done on the Olympic ceremony, they make my head spin, folks. I don't know any other way to put it. As I have continued to study these portions of the ceremony, I have continually asked myself if the director of the ceremony, Danny Boyle, the man who orchestrated this entire ceremony, he was the one hired to put the thing together, to design it, and to make it happen. And I've asked myself continually, did he know what he was doing? As he designed it, as he drew it out, as he planned it, as he got the choreographers together and the costumes and the theatrical props and the music, and as I have looked at what he did, I've wondered, folks, I really have, because I don't want to just say that Danny Boyle entirely knew everything that he was doing when he did not know. And as I present the information in this program, the conclusion that I arrive at is that I believe that Danny Boyle was under satanic and dark inspiration when he was designing the Olympic ceremony. Now, some of the things were premeditated, I'm sure, but my conclusion is that he was under evil inspiration. Why am I saying this? Here's why. Because today's program is going to examine a portion of the ceremony that just lasted approximately 1 minute. Now, we're going to look at several portions, but the main portion that we're going to dissect lasted about 1 minute. And in this 1 minute portion of the ceremony, it included symbology about Babylon in the end times and the New World Order beast empire. So we're going to study this, folks. And as we do, I am also going to include images. You can go to my website and on the homepage, you will see table of contents and then go to part 6 and it'll open up with a link to notes and images that will help you be able to better understand what we're talking about. Now, as I stated, we're in part 6 right now. And already in parts 1 through 5, we have gone very, very deep. And we have uncovered that the ceremony had hidden messages that had to do with the occult, with mythology, with the worship of false gods, with pagan ritualistic beliefs. They went into some of the portions of their actual rituals. And the rabbit hole is so incredible in this thing. And in the last part, part 5, I would say that thus far, up to this point, part 5 was very incredible because part 5 revealed that during the Olympic ritual, some gateways and portals were opened to the underworld. And when these gateways and portals were opened, spiritual beings that live in the underworld were summoned and invoked to ascend into our world. Now, I know that some portions of part 5 were hard to bear. They were heavy duty, and maybe even to some people they were scary and creepy. But folks, here's the thing. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 9 that during the tribulation period, the bottomless pit will be opened and demonic entities are going to come out. And these entities are going to have a mandate to do much harm to the people and residents of this planet, to humans. This thing's going to happen, folks. So here's the big question I have. When this thing does happen in Revelation chapter 9, how many of the residents of Earth are going to know that it happened? And when it does happen, will there be any humans involved in opening that door to the bottomless pit? Symbolically, or will they be involved in some ritual that will also take place? The Bible doesn't tell us that. But here is the part that's disturbing. During the Olympic ceremony, we saw a portion of the ritual that opened up a gateway to the underworld. That thing happened, folks. It's beyond denial. It happened. Now, since that time that I released part 5, the Holy Spirit has revealed that there was more detail of the opening of the portals that I didn't talk about because I didn't know about it at the time. Because since I did part 5 in the last few weeks, the Holy Spirit has helped me to understand that the opening of the portal and the gateway to the underworld was even more in depth. And there was more things that I didn't share with you in part 5. So in this session, part 6, we're going to go even deeper, folks. And because of how deep we're going to get, I believe that the conclusion that we are going to arrive at is that something very incredible and powerful occurred to the entire world when that event happened. And they don't know how bad it's going to be. But nevertheless, the world participated. And nevertheless, the world was exposed to this ritual. And unfortunately, the sludge and plague and contamination of the spiritual darkness that was released has now been inhaled. And those dark spiritual weapons of mass destruction, that poisonous gas of satanic entities, has been released to the world. I wish that somehow I could express a loud blast from the trumpet, from the wall, to the entire church, to those who consider themselves children of God, of Yahweh, followers of Jesus, the Messiah. I wish that somehow I could communicate how serious this thing is. Folks, we are in the phase of spiritual 911 right now. If I could, I would pull the fire alarm of a spiritual emergency to try to awaken everyone with the alarm. Some of you may be saying, Nathan, how could it be that serious? The Olympics have already come and gone, and you know, the world's still here. I still wake up every morning and go to work. Where's the fire, Nathan? What's the big deal? Well, my friends, I just want to ask this. Please follow along and if necessary, listen to this program several times And also, share this program with everyone that you know. I know that I say this every program, but this one is the one to share. Share it with pastors, spiritual leaders, co-workers, family, friends. The people that you care about need to know this information. Nathan, do you really think so? Yes, I do. Now, to explain how serious this thing is, this is how Satan works. Satan operates on a legal system of heaven. He operates on the rights and allowances according to the statutes of God. He operates by the law of permission. In other words, he cannot infect someone if they don't have his permission. But if he can find the loophole in the legal estate of a human, then he's going to take it. And there are loopholes that do exist that most people take lightly, that they really don't pay attention to. But Satan knows about these things. Now, while he might consider them a loophole, what they really are the hedges that God places around us as humans. But in his scriptures, God tells us that if humans disobey him, and if humans do not follow his laws, and if humans do not value his laws, and if humans misbehave and participate in things that are prohibited, then that opens up the gateways and doors for humans to be exposed. Now, one of the statutes of the legal system that I'm talking about have to do with generational curses. For example, if an individual is involved in the occult, then their involvement in the occult gives Satan the right to occupy their lineage. It gives Satan the right to infect even their loved ones, their children. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 5, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. Exodus 20, verse 5. Actually, let's look at verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 3. Let's go backwards. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is Yahweh talking. This is the Lord God speaking. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5. Now, here's one of the statutes, the legal rules that God establishes for humanity. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity. Now, here it is, folks. Listen to this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, right there. That is one of the established rules that God made for his people. If a person hates God and they want to be involved in the occult, then God cannot protect them because it ties God's hands from issuing his blessing to them because they are contaminated and they have chosen to instead follow Satan and the false gods. So Satan operates on this legal system. And what he wants to do is to get people to worship false gods so that Yahweh will allow their iniquity and sin to visit their children down to the third and fourth generation. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 7, there is another verse that also confirms this. If you're taking notes, go to Exodus 34, verse 7. Now, in Exodus 34, the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he's telling Moses to get two tablets of stone, and then they're going to write another set of the Ten Commandments because Moses broke the first one. Those of you that know the story, and God's telling him to be ready in the morning, to have two tablets of stone ready, go meet him at the top of Mount Sinai, and Moses was supposed to show up with the tablets of stone. And when he did, God descended in a cloud and stood with Moses, and he spoke to him. The Lord passed through him, and the Lord proclaimed that he is a God of mercy and long-suffering and grace and abundant in mercy and truth. God was explaining to Moses that he does have love. However, in verse 7, he says, he keeps mercy for thousands, he forgives iniquity and sin, and he also visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So God is once again establishing his statute to show that those that disobey him will have sin in their lives, and the kids will find themselves in a stronghold of bondage in that same type of sin. In the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 18, God states it again. So The reason that I am repeating these verses is because it needs to be established that when God says certain things, He means it. God does not wink at the sin of the occult. And if people worship false gods and are involved in the occult, God takes it very seriously. And that thing will go down through the lineage, and Satan loves it. So what Satan wants to do is to get people involved in the occult so that he can have their family lineage to the third and fourth generation. And he keeps the contamination going, thereby sealing and continuing being the god of this world, full of deception and full of bondage for many, many people who are blind to the truth and who dismiss the statutes of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9, we can read it again. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. He's talking about other gods, graven images. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Right there I gave you four verses that speak about the generation of curses. Folks, this thing's very serious, and it's real. And what we can see out of this is that Satan must obtain the right of participation from subjects, from worshipers. And he is able to do this from Satanists, from pagans, from occultists, from witches, and all of those who practice the occultic esoteric arts. Again, folks, the occult is not a benign thing. Witchcraft is not a benign, fun little thing that your kids can play with. Being a sorcerer and a magician is not a fun thing that people should play with. And unfortunately, today, one of the most popular children's book in the history of publishing happens to be a book that popularizes that very thing. The occult, sorcery, witchcraft, being a magician, being a Merlin, learning magic, being a sage and a seer. And how many people in the Christian church right now as I speak look at the Harry Potter series as something that's benign and allow their children to watch them because they think they're harmless and it's not going to hurt them and it will not pollute them. But ladies and gentlemen, it's dangerous, folks. The occult and all occultic toys are an abomination, including Ouija boards. Ouija boards are not a toy. God is precise, and God states that we as His people are prohibited from messing around with that stuff, and they are not for God's people. Now, the Lord God, Yahweh, the Creator of heaven and earth, He desires to be our rescuer. He desires to be our Savior. He desires to have a relationship with His people. But the only way that this can happen is if He has 100% sold out commitment by people. A person cannot serve God halfway and expect to experience the benefits that are available for God's people. God wants to be our Father. He wants us to be His children. But the only way that this thing can work is if we separate ourselves from the old way, from the ways of the world, and we serve Him and follow Him and forsake all of those things that are in the world. In Psalms 91, it says, He that dwells in the secret place will abide under His shadow. When we dwell in the secret place of God, dads, husbands, those of you that are the leaders of the household, and I'm talking to the dads now, God has established His system of the family unit, and He has established that the men, the husbands, are to be the head of the house. They are to be the priests over the house, and as priests, they worship God, they minister to God, they serve God, and by doing so, then God can place an umbrella of protection over the priests of the household. And when the umbrella of protection is over the priest, over the father, the husband, then the rest of the family also experiences the benefit of being under that umbrella of blessing. And that's the way God wants to do it. That's the way He set it up. Now, if a person who is the head of the house is out in the world goofing off and involved in things that he shouldn't be doing, involved in sin, and then he expects God to put His umbrella of protection over him to protect his family, God cannot do it. Because God has established the legal channels of property rights. So if a person wants God's protection, then they have to serve God 100%. If a person wants God's protection but indulges in satanic things, then God cannot protect. So this is what the choice is. Now, I know I'm digressing and talking about these things, but the reason I'm doing it is because I'm establishing that there is a very powerful and necessary legal line of authority that can only happen and that can only be in service over a family if they follow the statutes of God. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason that it's very important to get an understanding of this is because as the days grow darker, there are going to be forces of darkness fluttering about in your neighborhood, wanting to do harm to you and your family. And you need to be under that umbrella of protection. If you're not doing your job as the priest of the house, there are going to be breaches in your wall. There's going to be holes in your umbrella where water gets through. It is your job to build the bunker of God's spiritual fortress around your family. And as the days get darker, the only thing that God's people are going to have to be protected against these things is going to be God's power. That's it. It's not going to be the power of man. It's only through God. The reason that I'm speaking about this is because in part 5 in the previous program, we discussed that the gateways to hell were opened and demon creatures flew out. And those demons are going to fly over the world and try to bring melee and destruction to all of the people that succumb to their deception. And only the ones that have the light of God will be able to withstand. Satan is looking for a breach in your wall, my friend. He wants to crawl in through your window as the strong man. And the only way that he can do this is if you give him the right to do it. So how do we give him the right? By participating in the deeds of darkness. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, if you have your Bible, please turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. God instructed Moses, and he said, when my people enter the promised land, there are certain things that they are prohibited from doing. And those rules, which are safety boundaries, also apply to us. So let's look at Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. And let's look at the rules when it has to do with the occult. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. In other words, when you go into their neighborhood, don't start acting like them. Don't allow them to influence you. Don't allow their abominations to corrupt you. Verse 10, here's the list, folks. Look at this. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. Look at the next one. Or one who practices witchcraft. Now, God didn't say you can allow the witchcraft to entertain you because it's cute, and they have a children's book about it that your children like because all the other kids are doing it, and all of the other kids in Sunday school and children's church are enjoying. It doesn't say that, folks. It says you shall not be one who practices witchcraft. Or a soothsayer. Or one who interprets omens. Or a sorcerer. Verse 11. Or one who conjures spells. There it is again, folks. Witchcraft. Or someone who's a shaman. They're doing spells. Or a medium. Or a spiritist. Or one who calls up the dead. Do you see, folks? This is pretty plain right here. This is pretty specific. You know, I just mentioned shaman. How interesting is it that one of the new cool things that some people have done is to include the shaman witch doctors that are found in Native American culture and giving them a free pass because, well, they're politically correct. They're cool. They're wise. And they know stuff. Folks, the Bible is very clear. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what you try to call it. These are all abominations. Verse 12. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. God did not want his people to be contaminated with these practices. Why? Is it because God just wants all the attention? No. It's because if a person practices these things, then they open themselves up and allow Satan to infect their family and to pollute their children to the third and fourth generation. Folks, God is very precise. These things are not for God's people. And so Satan tries to get rights through these legal channels. In the occult, the ritual that is conducted in an occultic ceremony, the purpose of a ritual is to give Satan the channel or the right to get involved in the people's lives. When you mess around with the occult, folks, you're making yourself into a motel room. You're making yourself available to be possessed by a demon. Demon possession occurs when people are involved in occultic rituals. That's why it's very, very dangerous to play around with these things. Now, I said all of that because during the Olympic ceremony, Danny Boyle knowingly or unknowingly turned the production of the Olympic ceremony into a giant ritual. And the stadium became a temple. And the people became the participants. And the world became infected. And one of the designs of the Olympic ceremony included what Danny Boyle called a mosh pit. Now, if you watch the ceremony, at the very beginning, there was grass everywhere on the field, and there were sheep that were grazing, and everyone was dressed up like farmers in the 1800s, and it looked very peaceful. He called it the Isle of Wonder. But at one end of the field, there was a section where there were a lot of people sitting in chairs. And what Danny Boyle did was he said that he wanted audience participation. He wanted to bring the actual audience into the ceremony so that they could experience it. Now, on the surface, that may sound good, but below the surface, this is what really happened, folks. At the end of the field, Danny Boyle had some random people that were chosen, and he called it the mosh pit. And he had the mosh pit on one end of the field, and I don't exactly know how many people were in there, but I'm pretty sure it was several hundred, probably 200 or 300. And then on the northern part of the field, there was the recreation of that hillside called Glastonbury Tor. Now, a few episodes ago, we talked about it, and we discussed that Glastonbury Tor is known by those in the occult, by pagans, by druids, by Wiccans, by witches, worldwide, as a very, very powerful spiritual location to conduct rituals and ceremonies. It's located in Britain, and Glastonbury Tor is also known as a location that is a gateway to the underworld. And there's even a legend that there is a spiritual city that is located in the earth under Glastonbury Tor called Anwen. And there's a doorway to Anwen that opens up once a year or through death or possibly through a ritual. So Danny Boyle recreated the Tor. And the word Tor means hill. So on the northern part of the field, he had this hill with an oak tree on the top. It's a gateway hill. In part 5, we discussed how spirits poured out of the Tor during a portion of the ceremony and were released to the world. Well, what we haven't discussed is on each side of Glastonbury Tor, Danny Boyle also created a mosh pit. He had one on the northeast side and the northwest side, right next to the gateway, right next to the portal, the gateway to the underworld. He had regular people that were part of the audience sitting in their mosh pit, is what he called it, witnessing the ceremony. So now when we look at the environment and the setting for this ritual that Danny Boyle conducted, we have regular folks from countries all over the world at random sitting and participating at ground level where the action was, in the mosh pit. And those people also were exposed to the ritual. Now, why did he do that? Here's why, folks. Again, because Satan wants ritualistic participation. He wants to create any legal open door that he can so that he can be allowed to bring his strongholds into the lives of people. And by having the mosh pit at both ends of the field, that's exactly what was accomplished. The ritual was participated by representatives from throughout the world. And as they witnessed the ritual, they also experienced spiritual infection. They were contaminated. That ritual was not just to contaminate, it was also a ritual to summon and invoke. Now, it is very, very important that we all understand something. There is a key portion of truth that is very disturbing about this whole thing. And it is this. All parts of the world are going to witness the effects of what happened in the Olympic ceremony. Every corner, Asia, the Middle East, the West, North America, South America, Australia, Europe, everyone is going to experience it because the whole world had representatives that participated in this thing. Now, since that ceremony occurred, we can look and see that chaos has indeed erupted throughout the world. Now, why is that? Was it just to rattle things? Did Satan want to just shake up the furniture throughout the world? Did Satan just want to create a giant world poltergeist for his own enjoyment? No. Here's why, folks. It's because we are living in the end times, and the hour is very late, and Satan knows that his time is short, and he needs to get the ball rolling. He needs to get his satanic spiritual chess pieces in the correct locations throughout the world. And one of the biggest projects that Satan is going to have in these end times is to bring about the end time New World Order, One World Government, beast system. That's one of Satan's biggest projects. And he's going to need a lot of help from his satanic dignitaries and his principalities and his dark princes and his evil lords and the demons that cause havoc. It's a big project that he has, and he's the general contractor. But he also needs and requires and desires human involvement. He desires human participation. Makes his job a lot easier. And that's exactly what happened in the ceremony. Now, in the last program, we talked about individual satanic spirits that came out of the Glastonbury Tour when the oak tree was lifted. As I stated earlier, there was also another event that happened that's even more profound. Because the summoning process and the invocation of evil spirits was not just for impi spirits that had limited power, but there was also something else that was summoned. And the magnitude of this entity that was summoned is on a scale that is highly multiplied and enlarged, much bigger than just regular demons. It was something much bigger, folks, something enormous and gargantuan. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Again, folks, I still find this thing very incredible. Now, when this summoning event happened, there were various elements that were symbolic that were released. And on previous programs, we visited that also during the ceremony and in the architecture of the Olympic Village, we saw the hints presented about Babylon. Outside of Olympic Stadium, there is a giant tower art piece that is called the Orbit Eiffel, and that's E-Y-E-F-U-L, Eiffel Tower. The Orbit Eiffel Tower is a 377-foot tall tower that is part of the Olympic Village, and the designer of this tower admitted that he was influenced by the Tower of Babel when he designed it. So, Babylon inspired this architecture that's outside of the stadium. By their very admission, Babylon also has a footprint in the Olympic ceremony. That tower also resembles a ziggurat and a strand of DNA. Why does it resemble a strand of DNA? Well, we've discussed that in other programs. We've seen the hints and the clues. If you go to the notes page, I will have another image of this tower. But the reason it has a strand of DNA is because they're giving us a hint of what's going to happen in the end times with some creatures that will be revealed that will have their DNA mingled about and manipulated to get results that are not worldly, not normal, and that are satanic and very evil. That's another program. I don't want to digress. But moving on, I want to now present the portion of the ceremony where all of these things occurred. For those of you that may have watched the ceremony, you may have remembered that at the very beginning in the Isle of Wonder, when they had the peaceful green pastures, several minutes went by, and then an individual who was dressed very formally appeared on the scene. And he was wearing a top hat, he was wearing a tuxedo, and two Americans who weren't familiar with what was going on in the ceremony, they thought that he looked like Abraham Lincoln. But of course, all of the representations that we saw during the ceremony were created as a tribute to the contributions of entertainment, music, and industry that Britain has given to the world. So all of the things that we saw, all of the people, represented something in British history. So that person that looked like Abraham Lincoln was represented by the actor Kenneth Branagh. Kenneth Branagh is a European icon. He's been involved in many Hollywood movies. He's also directed movies. And at the end of the segment called the Isle of Wonder, which started at the beginning with all the green grass and the sheep, he walked to Glastonbury Tor and he stood at the base of it. And then he was followed by a handful of other gentlemen who were formally dressed. And he stood there, and toward the end of that segment, he then gave a speech. His speech lasted approximately 1 minute long, and there was soft music playing in the background. And after he gave the speech, then everything changed. Now, That segment where Kenneth Branagh gave the speech is the segment that I want to talk about. Because that segment that was only 1 minute long continued to bother me. As I went back over and over studying this whole thing, whenever I saw this individual where Kenneth Branagh was dressed in the top hat, my discernment was telling me that there was more than meets the eye. That what they were doing, while on the surface it may have sounded artistic and poetic, there was more to it. And as I continued to pray, and as I continued to seek God, God started opening my eyes. And then about a week and a half ago, the Holy Spirit said some things to me, and He gave me some hints that helped me to follow the rabbit trail and to follow the breadcrumbs. And then a lot of things then started coming together. And the things that were uncovered, I believe that there was a hidden message that was very dark, and it was very powerful. It was very revealing. And it was a message that was communicated by Satan himself to the entire world to reveal to the world several things. And these things that it reveals are going to affect every one of us. They're going to change this planet. They're going to affect life as we know it. And they are going to be a next step to get us into the end times. They're going to play a pivotal role as they come to fruition to start fulfilling end time Bible prophecy. Now, real briefly, let me just mention a list of the secrets that I have been able to uncover in this 1 minute portion of the ceremony. Number one, it revealed that Babylon is rising. Number two, it revealed the awakening of the New World Order end time beast, that the beast empire is coming. It revealed that the spirit of the underworld has been invoked and summoned and awakened. It revealed that the power that fuels the spirit of the underworld has been awakened and has now been released and is going to ascend out of the bottomless pit. And when it ascends, it's going to empower the New World Order beast. It also reveals what time it is. It reveals some of the prophecies that we find in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation. It reveals that the beast that is going to come from below, that is going to ascend from below, will be 7 heads and 10 horns. It revealed the number 7 and 10 several times. It revealed that the elite have a plan in store that's going to be very powerful. It revealed that the elite are going to make slaves out of the entire world. It revealed that there is going to be a separation between the very rich and the very poor. It revealed that Babylon expects everybody to serve, and only those that expect to survive where they can eat are going to be slaves to Babylon and to the elite. It revealed that the end time New World Order empire is going to have sorcery as its driving force. It's going to have the ability to influence people with spells, with curses, with spiritual invocations that are very powerful. It's going to be able to hypnotize and tranquilize people. It's going to be able to control their thoughts. It's going to be able to influence the weather, bring destruction, bring mayhem. Now, some of you may be saying, Nathan, what you're saying right here, while it sounds pretty interesting, all I saw was a guy wearing a top hat that looked like Abraham Lincoln, and he gave a little speech. How can all of that be in what he did? I know, folks, it sounds incredible. And that's why I'm telling you, this information makes my head spin. It is so in-depth. But because of the depth of these things that I have been able to uncover, that's one of the reasons that I'm not so sure that Danny Boyle knew what he was doing, and I'm not so sure that he acted alone. I believe that Satan gave a dark prophecy to the world, and also Satan was revealing to the world what he's about to do. And if Satan was revealing to the world what he's about to do, then also the other disturbing portion of this thing is now upon us. This thing's closer than possibly many of us have anticipated. You know, folks, that's the big challenge. Where are we in the timeline? You know, I spoke earlier about the slow-moving train of judgment, the molasses, the events are not moving fast enough. Well, as these events continue to unfold, I believe that they're going to speed up, and the magnitude of their effect is going to be felt by more and more people. Well, folks, it appears that I'm going to have to break this session up into several parts. So this is going to be the end of 165, part 6A. So please go to the next portion of this program, already in progress. We'll see you in a few minutes.